The Lord said in His word to David, "Be still and know that I am God." In the New Testament, our Lord Jesus spoke these words. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." There is only one thing that can bring comfort to the heart of people at a time like this, and it is God's holy word. I pray that the service today will be a blessing, a comfort, a help in a time of great need. And these are difficult days and times. A gathering like this, no one looks forward to. This is a time for us to solemnly reflect, to think from our hearts about the meaning of life, about the meaning of loved ones. These are all the value of coming together on such an occasion as this. You have your bulletin, and I would ask you to please turn to the first hymn that we have, "God Be With You Till We Meet Again." There were four hymns that were chosen by the family. We could put two of them here that we're going to be singing, but they are precious and important. I invite you please to stand as we worship. Seated. Pastor McClellan is going to come now and lead us in our opening word of prayer.
Let us all of grace in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee in this very, very sad occasion, and we thank thee, Lord, that we are able to come and to speak to thee, and that thou art the God of all comfort. We ask thee, our Father, that thou would draw near to us now. And we pray, O God, that as we come to this sad situation of saying farewell to Scott, that, Lord, thou would give us a real sense of the presence and the power of the Lord. We know, Lord, that in the difficult times of life, thou hast told us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so while in life, Lord, there are so many questions that we don't have answers for, yet, Lord, we do rejoice in the knowledge that the judge of all the earth does right, and he works all things according to the counsel of his own will. So we come before thee with confidence, knowing that thou art there to help us in our time of need. We remember, Lord, the words of the hymn that God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And yet, Lord, we thank thee for that line in that hymn that tells us that in life the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And we ask thee, O God, that this bitter experience may come forth with sweetness to the souls of those especially who are touched by the death of our friend. So, Lord, we come before thee and we pray that thou would bless. We pray that thou would comfort every individual soul. O God, we have been shocked by the sudden untimely death of Scott, and we pray that thou would comfort the mourners. We think of Kathy, she's lost a partner. We pray that thou would comfort her. We think of little Ava. We pray, our Father, that thou would bless her as she has lost her daddy. And Lord, we pray for Shirley and Jeff, that thou would bless them who have lost a son. And Lord, we pray for Jim and Norma, that thou would comfort them who have lost a grandson. And Lord, for the other family members, we commend them all to thee, and we pray that thou would draw near and bless. Dear Lord, we pray today that thou would step through the dark door of this experience. And Father, we pray that thou would give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So, Lord, draw near, we pray, and bless. We ask you, Lord, that thou would bless thy servant as he would minister the word, as he has said. We know, Lord, that the words of human beings may be a help to understand some of the things that happen to us. But the bottom line, we know, Lord, it's only thy word that's able to really get to the grips and to the depths of the sorrow of the broken heart. So, Father, we pray, draw near. Give us a real sense of thy presence. And, Lord, thou, the God of all comfort, we pray that thou would draw near and bless. And, Lord, give us hope, we pray, in the time when this world is in such a hopeless state. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Listen to these verses from the Word of God, the oldest psalm in the Bible. Thou hast been our dwelling place, Lord, in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night, like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes, and it grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. The days of our years are 80, or by reason of strength, maybe 80. And yet there is strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So Moses prayed, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We welcome you today welcome is really hardly the word because of the circumstance that finds us here. I am a stranger to most of you. You are a stranger to me. And yet, in this unusual way, we are brought together in this building under these circumstances. What message does God have for us today? We know that there are some folks viewing our service online today who couldn't be here. And on behalf of the family, we want to welcome you today to our service. And it is recorded and will be uploaded so that you're able to view it later on too, if you so desire to do that. We want to give our deepest sympathy to all the family members, to Katie, the first time that we have met today, and the heavy burden that you have upon you, for Ava and Jeff and Shirley. These things are very, very difficult. The grandparents, Jim and Norma, Lois, and then sisters, Jordan, Madison, Haley, niece Jaden and nephew James. We just extend our deepest condolences and our prayers since we heard the news. Our whole congregation has been praying for you and upholding you before the Lord. So please be assured of this. When we have gathered to say farewell to, well, what appears to many of us to be an untimely death, someone who was at the very prime of his life, who impacted many people around him, and yet taken away so quickly. I remember Scott and Jaden as they came to our Sunday school many, many years ago, and they were taught the Bible. They learned verses from the Scripture, and they learned about the Savior and about His love for sinners like all of us, and how He went to die on the cross to bear away our sin. That's the good news of the gospel, and that's the happy message that is to be learned and taught. We've all heard so much about death in these days, connected with COVID and all the issues that are around us. When it comes to a younger man, young family, it's so much harder to take in. We have nothing that we can really do to help apart from turning to the precious and holy Word of the Lord, because that's the only comfort that we can find. It's only that Word that will bring strength in time of weakness. It'll bring comfort in a time of grief. And my dear friends, it will bring healing to broken hearts. That's the power of the Lord's Word. And we rest in that today in the Savior. We have three tributes that are going to be spoken today. First of all, Catherine, and then Jordan, and then Jeff. So please come in that order.
One day in 2008, I was sitting on the couch with Jordan at her place. There was only one bathroom to her house, and I really needed to use it. But someone was in there, so I asked her who it was, and she said her brother. I didn't even know she had one. I saw Scott come out, and we looked at each other, and I thought, oh no, I'm in trouble. It took him 5 years, and Jordan's blessing, of course, for him to ask me to be his girlfriend. We started having a long-distance relationship as he lived here in North York with Gran and I was in Guelph. I still remember like yesterday that he got his sister to ask me the address to my work so he could come and surprise me when I was done. Scott and I loved going to the movies, every chance we could get. And Scott is also very protective of me. If I was ever in trouble, he would rush to be there for me. Only after 1 year of us being together, he told me that he wanted me to be the mother of his child. And shortly after, we started trying. I was getting discouraged by the fact that we weren't falling pregnant and we had suffered a miscarriage. Scott held on to an amazing amount of strength for the both of us. During that difficult time, he told me that there was a reason God had to take that baby home. And then the next month, we found out about our beautiful baby was coming. So as we were picking out names, when we found out that our little miracle was a girl, he said he wanted to keep to Irish roots and give her an Irish name. I found Tegan, which meant beautiful girl. But then we found Aveline, which means wished for or longed for child. Without hesitation, I said, that was the one. That was the one. Ava was born December 11th, 2016. As soon as we both laid eyes on her, I knew that Scott made the perfect decision on her name. From day one, she loved her daddy. She never wanted to leave his arms. When he was doing shift work at Genpak, right after she was born, he would be the one to stay up all night with her so that I could rest and be able to be a good mom the next day. He helped me with the research, with doctor's appointments, and anything in between for our little girl. I remember our first drive in the Evo with her. She would giggle every time we would go from a green light. Ava loved sitting with her dad in the garage or on the driveway, just watching him work on our vehicles. Scott and I, with help from my parents, we were going to have the life we always dreamed of. We were going to move to Nova Scotia, have a huge property to make walking and ATV trails, and Ava was going to grow up in the outdoors, and we would always go fishing or just take a stroll on the beach. We had picked a spot for our wedding only a couple weeks ago in front of this beautiful waterfall. And Ava was going to be the cutest flower girl. Scott was so excited to start a new life and be stress-free and be home more with our little family that we had created. Scott was a closed-in person, but he had a heart of gold that will never be forgotten. He knew how much I loved the ocean as I grew up in Newfoundland. So for one of my birthdays, he surprised me by taking me down to Ripley's Aquarium. He said he knew it wasn't the same, but he just wanted to bring me to be closer to it. He wanted to take me back to BC to meet his family, and he wanted to come to Newfoundland to meet mine and get screeched in. He has such an impact on our lives that people who haven't even met him are in mourning. Scott could cheer you up with just a smirk or a joke. Even his laugh could make you giggle. Scott saved my life when I was broken and losing my faith, and my mind was in the darkest of places. He brought me back by teaching me how to open my heart and love unconditionally, how to be strong and confident. And he was teaching Ava all of those things too. Scott is my soulmate, my best friend, and the love of my life. He brought so much positivity into my life. He was so proud of me when I found my passion for writing again. And he thought the idea for my novel was just amazing. He wanted me to finish it so fast that the nights that he didn't see me writing, he would hand me the tablet with the look on his face that said, hurry up. Scott supported me on every decision I made. He didn't care what color I dyed my hair, what I wore, or what job I had, as long as I was happy and I loved myself. I was told by someone close to us that we had a love that was rare to find. The day that Scott was brought home by God, we talked so much. He was working on his truck while Ava sat beside him and watched. Before we left to celebrate our anniversary, he gave Ava a huge hug and told her he loved her, and she said, I love you too, Daddy. When we got to the little cottage, we sat and talked. We picked out the house that we wanted to buy, And we wanted to tell Mom and Dad when we woke up the next day. We were telling jokes, and I was dancing around as he laughed at my lack of rhythm. He kissed me once I sat back down, and he said to me that I was perfect. And the last words that he spoke to me was that he wanted to marry me. Baby, you are my husband. You are. And you were the best husband that anyone could ask for. I love you forever and always. And keep my spot up there warm for me so that when we meet again, okay?
I will do my best to do this. Where to even begin?
From the heart. Okay.
I'm not even gonna bother with that. I just can't. I can't follow it. Scott was my best friend. No matter how much we fought, no matter how angry I got with him for picking on me constantly. With only being 15 months apart, I was always in shadow. No matter how old I got, I was always in his shadow. Wanted to always do what he wanted to do. Always begging him to go to his car meets. Getting picked on by the guys there too. Just because I was Scott's little sister. He was truly an amazing guy. All he ever wanted to do was make everybody else laugh. My life will never be the same without him. And he loved his niece so much. And the two of them going at it with each other.
Do you want to take a moment?
There's so many stories that I could tell about Scott.
Give a few. Tell the story about the bikes. You learned to ride.
That's your story, not mine.
I don't care, you can tell it because it was you that was involved mostly.
I don't even remember how old I was for that. Five, four, three.
Scott being the older of the two, both my son and my daughter were born in Edmonton, Alberta. We moved back to Ontario when they were a very young age. Jordan was just three, and Scott was four and a bit. We moved into a house in Newmarket, and it was at a time when there was just wanting to learn how to ride bikes. So me and Shirley took the two, and we took them down.
We went down the ferry lake.
We went down to the parking lot. Watching Jordan and Scott try to ride these bikes with training wheels on.
I thought a hot air balloon was more important.
It was a big parking lot, too, with a hill off to the back that I didn't realize that went down. And unfortunately, Jordan got a little too close and all of a sudden disappeared out of sight. I looked at Scott, and he just looked around. Where'd she go? Trying to figure out where she disappeared to. The look on his face was priceless. And then I ran over there thinking you might have been hurt, and I got down there and you were fine.
I just back at Scott, saw a hot and he's air like, balloon.
I swear I could have saw a smirk on Scott's face. It's like it was the starting of him pestering for the rest of your life. And never to stop. But it's with disbelief that I stand here doing this. This is not supposed to be the way it's supposed to be.
He had too much to accomplish in life.
Way too much.
The plans that he had with my best friend. She started off as my best friend first, by the way. You're lucky I gave you that blessing. I fought it for so long. And I couldn't give in. It was my college graduation. It was Kathy's birthday. And I said, guys, have at her. If it makes you happy, I can't sit back and watch you too long for each other and hold back because of me. That was the best decision I made. I got that beautiful girl, my beautiful niece, and he was one proud dad. I'll give him that.
He was a stubborn man too, just like his father.
That's for sure.
One of the most favorite memories, actually one of the starting of the best years of my life. When Scott was born in 91, Jordan was born in 93, and if all everybody remembers, that's when the Jays won the World Series. 92, 93.
Good luck, Charms, I'm telling you.
I still picture Scott bouncing his little jolly jumper when the games were on. Cheering. Finally got him back to Ontario, and sure enough, even at the age of 5, Scott being so like his father when it came to vehicles, I taught him how to fix cars, replace motors. Oh, shoot. I'm going to miss him.
I think my best memory of my brother is him picking up my grand. That stupid lawnmower.
Oh, how about the day you guys learned to fish at Wake Wilcox?
Catching my first sunfish and chasing my brother with it. Scott, look what I got! Look what I got! And he didn't care. He's like, I got one too!
Take it off the hook for me, please. But Scott, like me, was really into cars and trucks as well. And that was his current project that he was, his dream that he was building. And was hounding me and hounding me to get a truck like his next year. And we do one together. But cars were a passion of ours, and he was good around it just like I taught him. He was so proud of his truck. The last time I saw him, he had just finished putting his intake into his truck. And then I went upstairs and I heard the truck fire up, and he was going to go out and test it out, and I knew he was proud. Excited that he got it. He was waiting patiently. And there were so many other things to do, left to do. But as a young boy, I remember him sitting on my lap, wanted to learn how to drive. Driving around the block with him, sitting there steering the car at the age of 5. And that was priceless moments, most cherished. Unfortunately, it's a father's worst nightmare to be standing here before and your son's not here with you. That's something I would have never thought was going to happen. But unfortunately, life hands out things that we're not sure about. And we just have to be strong and trust in the Lord and make sure that we move on and go on for the rest of our kids and try and be strong for them. We didn't think today we and Jordan would be able to get up here and speak. It's just too much. It still is. And it's going to be a difficult time to come. But we'll get there, right? Because Scotty truly had something precious. He had a great partner, Kathy. And when I first heard of the incident, and she had told me after that they were having a conversation and discussing that they were finally going to get married. It was about time.
7 years, goodness gracious.
Took way too long. And they brought such a wonderful granddaughter into the world with Ava. And we had the great news. It was so exciting for me that I heard with Kathy he's going to be able to have another child. And I know Scott wanted so much to have a son. And I was hoping and praying that that was going to come true.
And I'm so sorry that it has to be this way. But we'll make it, right? I trust in the Lord, we'll make it.
Yeah.
And there's so much more I want to say, but I really don't think I could bring myself to doing it.
No.
No parent should have to go through this. Nobody.
Scott, everybody knows how amazing he was. He adored his niece. I remember going to the Toronto Zoo and he followed you everywhere. Tried to tell me how to parent before he was a parent himself.
Well, for any of you here that were fortunate enough to be able to understand Scott when he spoke, everybody knew that he was a mumbler.
He had to be good at translating his mumbling.
Kathy became a professional translator. I had to continuously ask
him
over and over. Pardon me? Sorry, son? Can you say it again? Sorry? Pardon me. He must have got mad or frustrated with me having to ask him so many times because get a little hard of hearing in the right ear. And he must have got frustrated with me asking him so many times. If you could say it again. And
speak
sometimes
up a little.
Kathy admitted it, and I admitted it as well, that sometimes we
tried
to get the information out of him as much as possible and gave up and just nodded like we, yeah, oh, yeah, okay.
For
yeah.
Sure, gotcha.
Thanks, son.
Heard you on that one.
Yeah, I understood. And then go away kind of sad that I didn't quite understand what he said because it might have been something important. So, but everybody knows that Scott was a really good man, good heart, and a really good father. And unfortunately, a life that was snuffed out way too early.
Way, way too early.
And like I said, it'll be a tough go away.
I spent my life, my whole life, looking up to him. He was my role model.
He was a hard worker, too.
Very. I always wanted him to be proud of me.
I was proud of him for being such a hard worker when he was first in finishing high school and having to do a co-op job building houses. And also working at McDonald's and working at another job as well. I had to actually convince him to try and give up one. He was just kind of stubborn to the point that he just liked to have him making that money to be able to buy the fun things that he wanted to have. So it was like trying to, you know, be reluctant not to tell him not to give up because he was so strong-headed. But he'll dearly be missed. And that's all I can say.
Yeah.
And I miss you, Scott. And hopefully one day I'll see you soon.
I'll be racing to those gates asking him to race me down. We had a lot of fun racing on the highways.
We appreciate all the support we've gotten from people, from my work, from everybody, all family, all the support that we've got. I didn't know most of some Scott's friends, but I see strange faces here today. But I appreciate you coming in here in support of Scott. It's definitely a difficult time. And we need it, right? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Earlier on, when I was speaking with Kathy, I said that this is not something that human words can bring comfort for or explain. And then to Shirley saying that no parent ever thinks they're going to have to say farewell to a child before they exit this world. All of these things are parts of life that we cannot explain, we don't know. But I say to you here today that there is one who knows every single thought and concern that faces a human experience. And our Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words to his disciples. He said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When I think about that verse of Scripture from Matthew 11, It brings to my heart great comfort and peace because it is a very compelling invitation. The one who has spoken that word, he said, "Come unto me." Now the context, the background of that was, well, the disciples were very busy. They had been ministering. They had been serving. They had been up and down the hills. It was a desert place. They had faced much opposition from those who were the enemies of Christ. Yes, in his day he had many. And when they had this moment to be apart, to be alone, Christ said to them, "Come unto me." And he says those very same words to everyone who is grieving here today. That is a message that is very compelling. It's just at a time like this for all of us, because if you knew what the future held, if you knew what tomorrow held, well, if any of us did, I think we would go mad. It's a good thing we do not know what the future holds for any one of us. And friend, in light of that, when the Savior makes this invitation, it comes from the one who understands all your pain, suffering, anguish, and sorrow. No one understands like Jesus. No one is able to comfort like our Lord, because He is the God of all comfort. When the Lord gives such an invitation, I'm very thankful that He is able to help us. In fact, He is more willing to help us in every time of our need. Why? Because He is full of grace and full of truth. Our Lord speaks gently, and yet He speaks compellingly to draw near to Him in order that we might find rest and to trust in His promise, His word. That's what comes from this scripture today. And so if the Lord makes that invitation to us, should we not come quickly to Him? But so often we delay. So often we make excuses, or we will seek some other remedy. Oh, my friend, the Lord invites us, and therefore we should come quickly to Him, and we should not make prayer our last resort, but rather make it our first resource and depend on the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul upon Thee. Yes, we are to come quickly to the Lord and to come without hesitation. In times of fear and uncertainty and sorrow and grief, what are we to do? We are to run to Christ. So often we spend our time, it seems, running away or in the opposite direction. But the Lord invites us to come to Him, and that we might run quickly to the Lord, just as a child would run to a parent's side when it's afraid, in trouble. We are called to run to the Lord. Do you know something? He is never too busy. Look, all of us who have been in the situation of parenting or in whatever capacity of life, we get overcome with the things of life going on. And what happens is this. Someone comes to us and it's interrupting our schedule. It's not in the plan of what we wanted to do, and they want help. And we turn away or we make some excuse. But I want to say to you today that the Savior never will turn you away. He always has time for you. He always will welcome you to Him. Friend, don't stay away. Don't think you can just handle life yourself. But flee to the Lord quickly, without any hesitation at all. He is standing in our midst, and He's tenderly saying, "Come." Ah, but we are also to come to the Lord directly. I like this part because we don't need someone else to speak for us when we come to Christ. We don't need someone else when we come to the Lord. We don't need a friend. We don't need a pastor. We don't need a priest. We don't need any other religious person. We come directly to Him. What great blessing there is, friend, in this. In the time of your need, in the time of your sorrow, don't think about finding your help anywhere else. Oh, I know friends come near and relatives, and it's good to see everyone with their arms around each other to support and encourage. That's what we are to do as well. But deep down inside, there is only one that can bring meaningful help in the time that we have it and need for it. The Lord Jesus said these words. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." This is His word. This is His promise. This is our hope, to come quickly without hesitation and come directly to the Lord. Can you say today that you know Him as your Savior? Have you ever invited Him into your heart and life? Oh, friend, don't delay doing that. Come to Him now while you have life and opportunity. And come to Him and say, "Lord, enter my life, my heart. Come and take control of my way." When you invite the Lord in, He will not refuse. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And I think about the qualification of that, because all of us, well, we're all heavy laden in some way or another. We all have burdens of life. But at a time like this today, there's only one thing that's in the mind and heart of those who have lost that dear one. It's where can I find relief from this heavy weight? Where can I find help in the time of my sorrow? I have fear for the future. There's uncertainty all around me. And yet we come to the one who says, "If you cast yourself upon me, the Savior, then He has promised to help us." Physical burdens, yes, they're hard enough to bear. But I say to you that there are burdens heavier than that, and those are the spiritual, the emotional, the mental burdens. Those are the great and heavy, weighty matters of life. What are we to do, friend, today? There's only one answer. We must come now directly to the Savior. Don't make any delay. Here in His Word, He has shown us the way. And I'll leave you with this one final thought. He has promised to help us when we come. He said, "I will give you rest." And when you cast yourself upon the Savior, you will find that because this word comes from Him, He will keep His word. He will give you rest. It is a gift that comes from Him. For He says, "I will give you." And when the Lord is giving us something, let us open our hearts to receive it from Him. He has given to us the gift of eternal life. Friend, He went to the cross and there to suffer and die for our sins. And as you come and say, "Lord, I need a Savior. I need one who will come to comfort me. I need help to hold me up." He has promised, "I will give you rest." And that rest, my, it's the best medicine that you could have. Some medicine does not taste very good, even though it's supposed to cure whatever ails you. But the medicine that Jesus gives is sweet because it is Himself. It is pure. It is holy. It is the best that will do for your life. Just not only now, but for eternity. When we come near to the Lord and we learn of Him, well, we learn about who He is. We learn about his kindness, his love. We learn of his sacrifice. We learn about his suffering. We learn that he suffered not for his own sin, but for mine and for yours today. And because he bore our sin on Calvary's cross, we have therefore peace today, peace by believing in him. We come troubled and heavy and overwhelmed. But friend, you will find in the Lord a peace that passes all human understanding, which simply means you'll have a hard time putting it into words, the peace that floods your heart when you have Christ in you. You can't explain it. But to know that inside, it gives you help. And it is a promise that the Lord gives us not just for time horizontally here on earth, but it's the hope that he gives us for eternity. That's what's so important. And oh, friend, today, hearts that are heavy. I didn't get to know Scott as he grew, but from what I've heard reported today, he was obviously someone who was greatly loved, greatly appreciated, and will be greatly missed. There is no doubt about that. But I know that Scott, the word that he would have for everyone today is this: flee to the Savior. Come to Christ and don't make any delay. And as the Lord openly receives us to himself, well, we will know, like the final hymn we're going to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Would you take your bulletin? We're going to sing the words of this final hymn now. How precious they are. You know, because it's one thing for someone to write a poem, but it's something entirely different when someone composes something that is meaningful, that has affected their own life. And the man who wrote this hymn, he suffered great tragedy in his life. On two different occasions, when he was ready to be married, his fiancée on two different occasions was taken from him by death. And Joseph Scriven knew what it was to go through grieving. And you know what? In the midst of it all, he was able to say, Christ is my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins, all of our griefs, all of our sorrows to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I invite you to stand with me as we sing. Thank you. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, there is so much comfort and blessing we can take and draw from the word of Jesus, and I pray it will settle and rest in every heart this afternoon. Lord, continue to pour out your grace. Continue, Lord, to pour out your peace. Bless the family. We know that today has been a most difficult day. And the days that will follow on, Lord, they will also be very hard. But I pray that Kathy will know your presence with her. Jeff and Shirley, all of the family relations, for Jim and Norma and Lois, Jordan, Lord, comfort everyone. And they just pray that they would find the Savior standing by them in the time of their need. So, Lord, hear our prayer now. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Could I ask you, please, just to be seated for a moment. And the family, they'll make their way out, first of all. And they'll go outside under the canopy. And then you're welcome to go out there and please just greet them and just remember them in your ongoing prayer. So folks will ask you to make your way out, first of all.